Well, how many of you are gardeners? Did you plant stuff this year? Vegetables and all that sort of thing? Of course you did, yeah. Yeah. So what did you do before you planted? Did all the work, right? You gotta get the soil going. You gotta fertilize it. You gotta do all that stuff, because you know that if you plant seeds on top of rocks, and if you don't get out there and weed from time to time, Oregon grows weeds too, right? Yeah, absolutely. So Jesus tells a parable that the people of his day would understand. A parable of sowing the seed. He tells a parable of the divine gardener. That's what this parable is really all about. The focus is really on the divine gardener, and Jesus talks about that later on. And it's about how people respond to the divine gardener as the Holy Spirit plants those seeds through the Word of God. Mostly this parable has been focused on us. And we can sometimes tend to make it about us and our faith and how we're responding to God. And yes, that's true, but we have to remember the history that Jesus is involved in here. Who he's talking to? He's talking to fellow Jews. He's talking to fellow Jews who have a history of ups and downs, a history of following God in everything that they do, and also a history of abandoning God and suffering the consequences. So to really understand this parable, we need to also look at those verses between Jesus' telling of the parable and his explanation of it. There are several verses that fit in between that parable and its explanation. I'm not going to read that today, but what I am going to say about it is this. Jesus talks about the history of Israel, the history of the Israelites. And in verses 10 to 15, he talks about those Israelites who had thrown God under the bus, so to speak. People who had abandoned God. And Jesus says about them in verse 15, their hearts are hard. Not that God hardened their hearts, but that their hearts are hard. And that they have closed their eyes. I think that's important for us to really take note of here. Because there are all those passages in Scripture about God hardening people's hearts, but that never comes before people have made the choice themselves to harden their own hearts, to allow the concerns and the cares and all the things of this world, the values and the ethics and the morality and stuff of this whole world, they've allowed those things to essentially rule their lives. And in so doing, God has been pushed out here. And again, who is he talking to? He's talking to the Israelites, right? He's talking to people who were the children of God. And so, by extension, who is he talking to today? To us. He's talking to us. Many Jews, including the Pharisees, knew of that history. And they knew that Jesus was talking to them. No wonder the Pharisees didn't like Jesus. It's for the same reason that people sometimes respond to us in the way that they do when, if we have ever attempted to correct someone or maybe disagree with them about life. On the other hand, Jesus is with the disciples, and I can imagine Jesus looking at them and saying to them, how blessed you are. He says that in verses 16 and 17. How blessed you are, he says. Not because the disciples understood the parable, because they didn't. In fact, they have to ask what he meant by the parable. But they were blessed because the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy had become a reality. And that fulfillment was standing there in front of them. And they were being personal witnesses to the person of God, the Word, the divine Logos, standing there in their presence, speaking to them. That was their privilege. And that is our privilege today, as God continues to speak to us through His Word, that divine Logos. In the second part of that reading today, of our gospel reading today, Jesus then, at the request of the disciples, goes on to talk about what He meant by what He said. We have to do that a lot, don't we? We have to ask each other, what did you mean by what you said? Because we often have a tendency to misinterpret what someone has said, and then we make decisions based on that misinterpretation, and then what happens? Yeah, we all know what happens, right? So the disciples ask Jesus, and He begins to tell them. He talks about the farmer first, the farmer throwing the seed out. And of course, we know that Jesus is talking about the divine farmer, the divine gardener, the one who is out there scattering the seed. It is that precious word, that powerful word, that relationship-creating word. Because when the divine Logos speaks, it's the same kind of speaking that God did at the creation. When God said, let there be, and it was. And that's the word that God speaks to us, and He speaks into our hearts. He speaks that we might not only hear with our ears, but that eternal changes begin to take place within the recesses and stillness of our spirit, where that voice speaks to us those words of love and compassion and grace and mercy. Jesus then talks about the footpath, the seed that fell along the footpath. People hear, we know, He said, and essentially ignored the message. The rocky soil initially, and again, he's speaking to His own people here. The rocky soil, initially they heard the prophet's words with joy, and there were those during Jesus' day that initially heard, they hear the word and they are joyful in hearing that word. They even come to repentance, but the joy changes. It didn't last long. And then, of course, the thorns. They hear of God's love, but all the stuff of the world crowds in, and it chokes out that word of God. They became distracted, and the fruit of repentance was pushed aside. And then, of course, the fertile soil. They hear it, and it revolutionizes their life. You see, what Jesus is really talking about here is that whole issue of repentance, because that's where it all begins. It all begins with repentance, and it's the fruit that comes out of that repentance. It's a fruit that would give much joy and peace to those who experienced it. I could go on and on about and talk in detail about each of these, but I'm not going to do that. You've heard enough sermons about all that over the years. But I do want to say this. At times, you and I have probably been in all four of those positions. Times when we've heard the word and it just kind of goes in one ear and out the next. Why? Because we've been too focused on life. We've been too focused on the problems. We've been too focused on just kind of getting from one day to the next. And sometimes that's all we can do, right? Sometimes it seems that's all we can do is get from one day to the next. We wake up in the morning and we wonder how we're going to get to noon, let alone the next day.